Hey everybody, Fouts here. Just wanted to give a small heads up. There may be potential spoilers if you want to go into episode 8 completely blind without any information at all. Do not listen to this cast. We go in depth about the entire teaser trailer that was released today.
Welcome, and you're listening to a Cued Up Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family of podcasts. And now,
shut up and sit down.
Hey, it's Cajun here, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through the Last Jedi teaser trailer, and that's it only. That's what this special episode is about, the Star Wars teaser trailer, because there's so much hype about one teaser trailer, and it was awesome, so we're going to take you through that. That's what we've compiled together for tonight. First up, we have Mr. Tools.
Ridiculous. I was legit, like, taking screenshots. I was texting Fouts. I was calling Fouts. Fouts was calling me. It was ridiculous today. The hype train for the trailer was bananas. It was also super cool to be able to watch it with my kids because we watched that hour lead up for The Last Jedi. So awesome, awesome.
Yes, sir. And also we have Mr. Brandon B. Fouts. How's it going, man?
Hey, everybody. It's Brandon. Today we have a special, special guest, and I'm up here in Northern Utah helping my parents move into their new house, and I'd like to introduce everybody to my dad. This is Papa Fouts. He'll be joining us for this episode.
Couch co-op engaged.
Couch co-op. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Get shoulder to shoulder and let's get some Star Wars going on. So right, let's start off. Who did not like the trailer?
For the Star Wars trailer, for me, it was just enough that it didn't give you too much, but gave you enough that it left you with that ending, and that ending was enough to draw like about 1,000 questions on what the hell was he talking about. So I don't think they gave us a lot, because honestly, there were characters that were way left out of this thing. We didn't even see Benicio del Toro character at all. We saw Kylo Ren for like a split second. So there were a lot of things that were left out. I think the biggest thing for everybody was the fact that they started it the right way. They started with Luke talking. And that was the biggest thing, because the major thing at the end of that was, and even Hamill said himself, he was like, I didn't say shit. Like, I expected to talk. I get the script. He said he worked out for two or three times a day for like almost a year straight to get himself all in shape and to not say a single line and just pull off a hood. So he was like, what the hell? So the fact that he did some voiceover was pretty cool. That what they originally started out with, which I thought was really, before we get into the trailer, was the fact that they released a poster, which was really cool. And the poster is very, very reminiscent of the original Star Wars, with Luke Skywalker standing in the center, kind of holding it up. But it's Rey holding up the lightsaber and the ray of light coming out from her. So I thought that was really cool.
We're going to eventually get to that. Or do we want to do now those last words at the end of the trailer? Like, or do we do that? Okay.
No, we'll dive. We'll start. We'll start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning of the trailer. We'll build up to that. So the initial part of the trailer starts as like dead. It's just complete black, right? And so it's kind of. At first, I was like, "Are they? Did it stutter? Are they going to show something?" And then all of a sudden, you see Rey, and you see her kind of just grasp really quickly, almost in a way that she did in the original when The Force Awakens, where she was kind of jumping into one of those force-sensitive kind of tremors, like where she was kind of feeling out and getting a sense of where Luke was at one point.
Right. The thing with the black was, it hit me really a lot because I saw it when I was outside in my yard doing landscaping, and I was like, oh, the trailer's up. I saw some posts on it. So like, all right, let me watch it. I'm on in the outside bright light on my phone. I was like, is anything really happening? And until I saw it later, I saw that there was actually some scenes happening because it was just so dark. I only saw the really light scenes. So for me, it was black light, which I think could be very, very, very much on purpose, having the dark and the light kind of going back and forth being a theme. So that's kind of what I'm thinking there.
What I love are callbacks. I love when movies do callbacks, and they're subtle callbacks. So once she does that reach, and he tells her to just breathe for a bit, and so you're it automatically, to me, like, my mindset went right back to Yoda, right, went back to Dagobah and all of those feelings. And then to see the stones lift, I'm like, oh, this is just like when he was training, like when he was trying to lift the stones. Even though that maybe not what was going on, that's the callback it gave to me, and that's the feeling that I got. And so it brought me right back to The Empire Strikes Back. So I was really, really excited. It was just a small nod, but enough for people who are, you know, fans, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
But to me, a couple of the elements in here that kind of stuck out, because things I was looking for plot elements compared to The Force Awakens, was because Force Awakens was like almost a spit copy of A New Hope. I was trying to look for stuff that differentiated this from Empire Strikes Back, and I saw a lot of elements that were The Empire Strikes Back. Like, we're attacking AT-ATs. They're going after AT-ATs in a big open field. This was like more of a desert with the red stuff popping up instead of the snow. We had the training with stuff being balanced and lifted off the ground. We have hints to the darkness winning or getting an advantage with either Luke's last statement or some of the attacks on the rebel forces in this. So for me, I liked Force Awakens a lot, but I was really hoping that this is not going to be a clone copy of Empire Strikes Back. But right now, I haven't seen anything that gives me anything that shows that it's not going to be that.
Yeah, I think it's a big contrast, especially the where they're at, the island that they're at or the planet that they're on is Octu. And Octu is a lot different than Dagobah in the sense that it is the light. And you can see as they do that pan shot over the island, as opposed to how dark and grim the Dagobah was. So it's a different, whereas Dagobah was dark and grim because there was a death coming, which was Yoda. There's a light here because it's Rey becoming a Jedi. So I think that there's a big switch in how they're doing or how they're portraying, you know, this particular thing, to your point.
Right. There was one thing that another Dagobah feel for me, I completely get with all the stuff, but at one point I forgot to miss was the Dagobah feel of he looks like Luke actually lives in a tree. That gave me a real nature feel because it looks like his little bookshelf with his books he found was on the tree, and he was exiting from a little tree thing at the end. That gave me a little bit of feel as well.
So when he asks her to see the light and the darkness when she's reaching, the first pan shot that they give is the back of Princess Leia Organa, and it's of her being at the base and taking a look at what appears to be that map that they saw in The Force Awakens where she was able to try to locate Luke. And then they do the best part about that is when they do this, you hear, and this was Fouts having me listen to it before it even hit Twitter, so I shout out to Fouts on this. He heard the noise, he heard this, the faint whispers in the background, and I'm like, what are you talking about? So we pull up closer, and the first whisper is, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. So like, and so it's like, oh, that's so you get that chill because, you know, they had that callback when she had the saber and she touched it. And then they do the pan of the dark, which is a smoking Kylo Ren mask. So we're assuming it smoking, meaning like I'm thinking he takes his saber. Somebody takes something to this thing and crushes it. Like, I'm tired of the mask. I'm tired of hiding anymore. I'm not that guy anymore. You know, when he killed his father, there's no hiding behind the mask anymore. He's the dark side, and that's who his character is going to be. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, to me, this kind of throws in, and this is a slight jump ahead, but it has to do with answering this question, is that Rey's answer to what do you see is light, darkness, balance. There, with I was talking about how the elements were earlier, black and light. All of that is the middle, that grayish middle in the middle. And what I think is, when Kylo Ren has picked his side of being the dark side and he doesn't have the opposition of the light, if there is no Jedi, that means he doesn't have a purpose. And I think that could be his downfall, is that, oh, they're not really the opposition of what I'm focused on anymore. And I think that's a huge part of it, and I think is going to be a huge theme as well. So I think he breaks the mask to move more towards the center that Luke's bringing Rey along with as well.
Again, faint in the background when you see through Kylo Ren mask, you hear the path to the dark side from Alex Guinness. So, like, you again, they do another a faint callback. All of this stuff, if you're watching visually, is almost impossible to hear. If you just kind of close your eyes and listen in that part, you can hear it very faintly. So you almost have to clip the audio, which Fouts did in order to kind of get us through that. And then the next scene that you see is, which to me is absolutely probably the most important part of this entire 2 minutes, are the books when they say the balance. The books are, and I have whole notes on this, are basically the Holy Grail of the Jedi. This is kind of what Luke was looking for. And we'll get to the reasons why, but these books, I believe, one of the books in that section that he has right there is the Book of Wills. And the Book of Wills was set up in the novelization of The Force Awakens. And I'm just going to read a real quick snippet when we get to the part that Cajun was talking about the dark and the light and the gray. And the snippet says, "First comes the day, then comes the night, after the darkness shines through the light. The difference, they say, is only made right by the resolving of gray through the fine Jedi sight." And so it's the balance between light and dark, and there is a gray. And I think in this, with these books, it's where Luke is saying, you know what, F the Jedis. I think that this is hearsay. I think that this is me telling Khan a story, and then Khan tells Cajun the same story I just told him, and then Cajun tells, you know, by the time you get it to the fourth person, the story's diluted, so the religion's diluted, you know what I mean? And so he basically gathers the books that he feels are the core, the things that aren't diluted, and that's what he has in front of him. And this is what I'm going to do. So this is going to be us moving forward. And I feel like that's the gray. Like, because if you think the Jedi is, you know, beyond reproach, watch the prequels, they literally force their religion on a lot of people. This has a very religious tone to it. And so Star Wars has always been a religious tone. It's just the underbelly of Star Wars, kind of.
Now, the other theory I had on the books was that that's what's all that's left. So we know that there was libraries and libraries of stuff for Jedi stuff. And I thought on the books on the shelf was that's all he found. Like, he went in search for the Jedi knowledge to help continue his journey and learning. But that could be also all he found. So it's either that is a collection of exactly the only things he needed to teach what he needed and be what he needed, or that's all he could find. And maybe one of them is the Book of the Wills in there. But that's what I thought of when I saw that as well, too.
The interesting thing about the whole plot to me is that you've got someone who was too old to be trained, training someone that's probably twice the age he was when he started. Mm-hmm. But the other interesting thing that you've already pointed out is that he went back to the First Temple. In so doing, he went back to the original core knowledge. It's not that he didn't have a bunch of the other knowledge available to him. It's just he wanted to start at the beginning, and what he did is he took what the beginning was. Because, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you're talking about religion here, so let's look at Christianity. It'd be the same thing as going back to either the original Torah and the text it came from, or if you're Christian, going with the original, you know, Gospels of the initial disciples of Christ. And then using that as your basis to start over again, rather than going off with the volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of stuff that's been accumulated in the last 2,000 years.
Yeah, going back to the original words, not the interpretations down the line. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, it isn't what did they mean, it is what did they say. You know what I mean? Versus, it's, so the interpretation being, like, so diluted by the time you get to it, it's like, all right, let me figure this out on my own. Let me go there and kind of figure this out, or what it really is supposed to be versus what I've been told it's supposed to be. So the next cutscene has the hand with the brown glove on it, and it has the finger going over the symbol, which, if you look at the poster again of episode, you know, the original or the Force Awakens, is that symbol. So I'm thinking that this may or may not be the symbol of the Jedi, at which would make sense. I mean, if it's in two posters now and that's kind of what they're going mm-hmm. after, that this might be what the original symbol of the Jedi was or is. It's got that kind of star figure that goes straight up to the sky, which is really, really cool. But I'm still the curiosity of who's the person who's pointing at it. My thought maybe is Luke, because it's on the right hand, the hand that's been severed. So that would make sense. And also it would not make sense for anybody else unless – I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for Rey to have gloves on. But I'm just going by the fact that this looks like – they showed the books, then they showed this page. So I'm thinking that that's going to be the case. Once they do that slow step scene, they show, which the saber scene, her training scene is fantastic. Just her swiping. The best part about it is it's Anakin's sword. It's Anakin's lightsaber. So that's the part that I got really excited about is her training isn't with Luke's, it's with Anakin's. I mean, there was some rumor that on this island, on Octu, that there was a kind of like a memorial to Yoda of some sort on there, and then they debunked that and said it wasn't him and whatnot. But then there was this scene that I have frozen with her with the saber, and you can see Luke kind of standing up top, and he's about a good, I don't know, maybe 15 yards away from her. And then there was thought that you could see like a small blip in the bottom that could be Yoda again. And I think it's just people trying to reach a little bit, because it would be awesome if it was Yoda. But you're in a Jedi temple, and you're at the home of where all of the Jedis were, so it would make sense if they were going to show these Force ghosts at some point.
Right.
This would be the place to do it, right? Like, if you're going to show Anakin again, this would be the place. So, at the birthplace, I mean, we knew.
Jedi. Yep.
Yes, and he's at Star Wars Con again. So, like, I mean, he's in the movie. Christian's, we know he's there. Yeah. Just where are you, dude? Because like, I'm so curious about where you are, even if it's just for a minute. If he has that 15 to 20 seconds that Vader had, you know, in the previous movie that we were just talking about last year, you know, we that tail end scene, we just need a little bit, and that would be enough for me to redeem himself, I think.
When I was looking out at the that scene when they were swinging the stuff, I saw like those statues in the distance as well. It would look like statues on those rock figurines, and I really thought there was other people there. Like, who are all these others looking mm-hmm. at it? Because again, first time I saw it on my phone. And when I saw it in HD later, like, oh, okay, so this looks like a collection of memorials and statues on this this temple island. So, a lot different.
So the next scene that you see in this is you see Krait, which is the planet that they're on with that has the B-wings that are coming flying up and kicking up the red dirt. So, like, at first I was like, what the hell are they doing kicking up red dirt? But then you realize that the balancer, because you see the first one tilt a little bit, as soon as that thing lands, that's what balances it on the ground and causes it to become like almost like a speeder. And if you look in the background, you have the AT-ATs, and you can see them all in a line. That's where they're going towards. So that's really, really cool. But they're not actual AT-ATs. I think, Fouts, I talked to you about the fact that they're like what, about a size and a half bigger.
Right.
So how do we know that they're like double or more the size? Because they were way out in the distance, man.
If when we went to I watched the Star Wars the hour long episode the hour long at Orlando prior to this being released and what they are is a larger version of AT-ATs.
Okay.
So they're a larger version of the AT-ATs, basically meant for what an AT-AT would be if it didn't have to go on Endor because of the size. They would have been that size. They shrank them down a little bit because they could fit on Endor because of the trees and everything like that. So it made more sense.
Gotcha. Okay,
that was their response. The next thing you see is Finn still in stasis. So you and Fouts talked about this. This is early. 90% of this trailer has got to be the first half an hour of this movie.
Yeah.
So because everything fits in line with her being in training, the Knights of Ren and everybody. The First Order, or the New Order, pardon me, coming and attacking them early, attacking the Resistance. So it leads to believe that this is all like kind of a yin and yang again, a kind of the whole, and which you were talking about, Cajun, a lot of Empire Strikes Back, where Luke has to leave, Rey has to leave, she's in training.
Yes, yeah, so when we left Finn in episode 7, he was in a coma. That's how we know that this is still early in the movie. And then the fact that they're transporting like this instead of just letting him be in his hospital room proves that that's when it's under attack. And the following scene is when Dameron's running down the hallway with BB-8 trying to get to his orange and black badass X-Wing.
First of all, he's the only person that has a black X-Wing, so you know that thing is badass. And also, it kind of leads to his character. You know what I mean? You make a standout character, he has a specialized X-Wing fighter, and that thing gets blown to all hell. Like, he runs up to it, and BB-8, he doesn't even get, I think he gets about maybe, 10 feet from it, and all of a sudden, hands up, big explosion.
Yep.
So you know that the Resistance is on attack. You know that they're coming after him. And I was telling you earlier that was the order is coming out immediately, on the attack immediately after all the repercussions of The Force Awakens. So that's what's going to be the intro part of this movie. It's like, okay, you slapped us, we're going to slap you back. Basically, the Empire strikes back.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So they're coming on the attack. So once you see that, all of a sudden my heart lifts up into the air when I see the Millennium Falcon come flying around the corner after that scene. And I'm like, oh, the Falcon again. So you know Rey's in the Falcon, which again says to me, Cajun, that she leaves Octu and she comes in the Falcon to come help the Resistance because they're under attack. And that initial scene where you see her slap the ground right away, she feels or senses that they're under attack and says to Luke, I've got to go. And instead of Yoda saying, no, stay, no, stay, Luke says, go ahead and go. I understand because I get you. You know what I mean? Like, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually part of a plot leak that came out a long time ago. I mean, as long ago as it came out, it was all hearsay. Like, yeah, you're full of it, or yeah, that could be true. But after seeing this, I believe more likely that it's true than it's false.
She comes out of that scene and she's got the blue saber and you see her racing. The thought is that on Octu, Orcret, that Kylo is the one doing the ground attack and then he has the order doing the air attack. So she may be on the ground seeing him or knowing that he's there and she's racing after him. And so that might be the reason why you see her with the saber right away. But then you see Kylo Ren literally take his sword and kind of cock it, almost like a gun, like where you would cock it sideways, you know what I mean? Like, and hold it.
TV, yeah, gangster style, right? Style, yeah.
But if he's doing that with, my thought is if he's doing it with one hand, the other hand has that stasis where he's able to hold somebody in place or hold someone in place and cause them to do whatever it is that he wants them to do. So he's got the saber in one hand and he's kind of just like, almost like a torture move, like tell me where blah blah is, which my guess blah blah means Luke. tell me where Luke is. The thing that I think that everybody's taken away from this particular scene is the cut over his eye,
which is so small,
which is a big deal because
it's what cut, man? That's like it a paper is. Cut. The thing's tiny.
Paper cut.
It's a paper cut, but it's again a callback to Darth Vader. Like
that's
the
only because
cut across
of the
eye.
Cauterizing wound inflicted by a girl.
Yeah. Oh.
The other important part about that is Kylo's eyes are not Sith yellow yet. Still.
So they're still shot.
They're still good in you. Yes.
They're still good in you.
But I mean, as much as he modeled after his grandfather Vader, that is what he's always strived to become, is more like him and more like him. And he was the ultimate Sith, besides Palpatine. But Palpatine was just a little punk, but that's another story.
Yeah, but we still want to see Snoke's and Luke have it out. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
this is true. Speaking of Luke, the next scene cuts to him, and it cuts to the Force vision that Rey had of him where he had his hand on R2. But it's the back shot, so you can kind of see what he sees from the front, from his point of view. And it's his temple being burned, which I would assume is by the Knights of Ren and by Kylo Ren torching it and just lighting this thing on fire. And so whether that's because they don't believe in what he's doing or because he's just betrayed him for whatever purpose, that I guess the story will kind of give a little bit of a backstory on whatever that is. But it shows R2, which it was nice to see R2 again, just for a second, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. The thing that I think's kind of threw people off was the fact that you see Captain Phasma immediately coming through flames, which would give you the impression that she's coming through that temple. My thought is that that's not through the temple. That's actually through the explosion that happened with the X-Wing fighter mm-hmm. that we saw with the Resistance earlier, about 20 seconds earlier. And she's coming through there because they just blew the hell out of that wall and exploded half the X-Wings, and now she's coming. And so it'd be nice to see Phasma have actual, you know, screen time versus what they did to her in, you know, The Force Awakens. That was kind of...
Right. And that scene being them coming, her coming through after the attack is, again, very Empire Strikes Back and again.
It is. Another version of Empire Strikes Back is, like, the next scene cuts to the Resistance fighting and trying to defend Octu, which is the planet below, to hold off any of the Order coming in so that they can't get to Luke. And so you can see them, which, again, happened in The Empire Strikes Back. There was a defense trying to block, you know, the Resistance again, trying to hold everybody off. So there's a lot of callback. I would hate to say the word callback, but it's a lot of callback. I think the innovation to the story is going to be the final cutscene over that. There was a voiceover over about the last two or three scenes that we talked about mm-hmm. with Luke's line that he only knows one thing, that it's time for the Jedi to end. And so then it left. It was like, oh, well, there's the can of worms. We're just going to open that thing up and figure out what the hell that means. It's like, so it was awesome because when I was watching it live, you'd watch, like, they panned back to the crowd and, like, jaws just hit the floor. And it was like, okay, what the F? Like, what was that? Like, there were so many people that just, like, was like, what? Jedi? No more Jedi? It's like, oh, okay, let's relax. First of all, scene cut out of text. Probably in a conversation, you know, it's a voiceover, relax. He was talking to her. Either she's angry or this is him telling her that they have to, you know, start a new version of Jedi or start a new version of whatever it is, or, you know what I mean? So you have to take those things into consideration. But man, that was a hell of a last line to just leave for, like, okay, by the way, we're probably not going to show you another trailer for 3 months.
For me,
and we're going to leave.
There's no relax there. That's like, let the internet go. You put this out early, you let it go. Yep. Don't tell the crowd to relax. Don't tell anybody to relax. Go. Have fun with it. Dig into our lore and our books to figure out what the hell. Why would somebody say that? What would this mean? Because you just dropped a bomb on especially somebody who doesn't know anything outside of the movie canon. And let them go searching.
Just in this little trailer, though, this little teaser, you can see that the tone of the movie is completely different than The Force Awakens. And so I think it's kind of going after a little bit more, or going after something that's a little bit different than the tone of that movie, mm-hmm. which is at least nice to see. Yeah. Like, they're not trying to, like, okay, if we keep spitting these out and we keep doing it, and if we throw Hamill out there, somebody's going to want, everybody will watch. You know what I mean? They're going to watch whether it's good or bad. They're really, really going after it. And watching the people on the panel today take it so seriously and how important it was to them, I thought was really cool. They didn't even show Rose, which is a brand new character and supposed to play a major role in the movie. She wasn't even in the teaser trailer, like, not even a picture of her. So again, Rose, Benicio del Toro is in this movie, and we have no idea where he's at. They didn't show Snoke at all. So there's a lot to figure out what the hell is going on in this movie. And all we know is a quarter, like this little corner of, okay, we know the Luke version, or we think we know the Luke
version. Yeah, they still haven't acknowledged that character is Snoke either. That's just a whole bunch of people on the internet just agreed that's what it is. And yep. That's what it is from here on out until the movie says otherwise.
So to kind of wrap this up, final thoughts on the Star Wars release trailer. I guess we'll call it a... Is this a trailer? Is this a teaser? To me, they're all the same anymore.
Yeah, technically,
2 minutes this is a 2 minutes.
Teaser, it's not an official trailer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's say The Last Jedi teaser trailer. What are our last thoughts?
Excited for the gray, the light, the dark, the balance, the white, the black, the gray. Give me something. Give me that middle line they're gonna toe, because it's been so polarized on all their other stuff in the past. Give me something that's just going to blend good and bad. Who's good and bad and why. I like it if they toe that line.
Oh, Faust, go.
Papa Fouts, what do you think?
It'll be interesting to see how much of the circle's completed and how much is left open for the future of the franchise. From what I can tell, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to have six or seven trailers, but they're all going to be blending into one another as usual. And then by the time they release the movie, you'll have a snippet of what the main plot might be.
Yep. And that plot, Empire Strikes Back. I'm just kidding.
I don't even know if the characters know that plot. I mean, that Rose chick said that the girl that is playing Rose said that she had to lie to her parents for 4 months that she where she was because she was NDA'd to even tell anybody where she was going. She was bringing her parents back maple syrup, pretending she was in Canada.
Wow.
I'm like, that's rough. That is rough. She's like, yeah, the first 4 months, I just lied. I just lied, said I was in Canada. I was bringing back maple syrup. She's in London. She's overseas. And she's like, nah, I was in Canada.
So, Dad, if I ever start bringing you maple syrup, I'm secretly working on a Star Wars project. Just nod, smile, and tell me I'm doing good.
Just make sure it's the real maple syrup. I don't want the artificial
kind. Maple-flavored syrup.
Yeah, maple-flavored syrup ain't going to cut it. I want the real stuff. You're going to be making enough money.
Oh, Jesus. Fouts, what are your thoughts?
About Luke's line at the end, I think it was completely necessary. I also think that it is not him saying the Jedi are coming to an end yet. I think it's a misdirection. Like there's more to the sentence, and they just flat out cut the end of the line off, cut the sentence off in order to create a misdirection. So that way people are like, oh my gosh, Jedi are all coming to a complete freaking end. This is it. This is over. But in the end of it, he may be saying the Jedi needs to end the First Order. Needs to end Snoke. You know, it could be a number of different things.
Oh, that would piss some people off.
That's what I'm hoping. But I've seen other movies where they do the exact same thing.
Yeah, they cut it.
Where in the trailer, they cut it so that way it looks like he's saying one thing, but in the actual movie, it's a completely different sentence.
To Fouts' point, I think the elephant in the room was the word The Last Jedi. So I think they needed to say something about it. Whether it meant anything or nothing, it needed to be spoken about just because it was the elephant in the room. And as far as the story, I think they did well. I think they gave us just enough, but not too much. The thing that I hope that they touch on that I would be the most interested in is if they hit on religious tones that were the undertones and the underbelly of the story. I think if they talked about the Jedi because of it being this so self-righteous group that, you know, maybe wasn't exactly doing the right thing all the time, and maybe we need to get back to whatever that is. If that's the basis of the story, and then there's all the periphery around it, I think for me, that would change the whole Empire Strikes Back thing and would turn it into more of a saga for me. And if they started a new religion or started a new version of the Jedi, I think that would be completely interesting, and then you could off-branch a bunch of different movies off of that. You could do backstories. You could do all kinds of stuff on that. So I think all in all, we agree that the Last Jedi trailer was pretty badass. So we thought it was at least a 8 or 9 out of 10, leaving a little to be desired as far as wanting to know a little bit more about the story, but at the same point, wanting to know not so much so that we can kind of go into this thing a little blind, which I think worked really well for the last movie. Like the Force Awakens movie, when we kind of went blind, a lot of the story we didn't know, which I think did a service as opposed to a disservice.
Speaking how good it was, we just spent 45 minutes talking about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There was bets earlier today. Chris was saying, no, we'll just be in there for like 15, 20 minutes. I was like, dude, you say that, we're going to be there for at least 45 minutes, probably closer to an hour, honestly.
Fouts called me at 8 o'clock, and he's like, you have 3 pages worth of notes? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Now, one question about your pages and notes, and I didn't think about this till right at the end when we were talking about the phrase. Forced Rogue One was forcing that in, that line into movie was so bad compared to The Last Jedi and this one just being just a mind-blowing lore explosion. Those are two very different plays on the title right there on how they actually worked in dialogue.
Right.
So I think for Geekologist, myself, I'm ready to get me out. How about you boys?
I'm ready to be out too. Let's go Easter weekend. Let's do it.
Well, it was fun being with all you guys. I appreciate you letting an old man in on it.
Take care. Problem. Good to meet you, Mr. Fauci. Enjoy your weekend, sir, and take care of that guy right there. Rub his head every time you get a chance.
Yeah. All right. For Geekologist Radio, part of the Ninja Gang Cake Network, we are out.